Let your conscience be your guide. In the Bhagavad Gita, Gita in Sanskrit means song and Bhagavad means God. It was spoken 5,300 years ago by Lord Krishna. It's 700 verses divided into 18 chapters. And in there you find all your core concepts of karma, yoga, vegetarianism, dharma, reincarnation. In the 13th chapter, it says that within each and every body there are two souls. The first is the individual soul called Atma, and the second is the supreme soul, or God, called Param Atma. The individual soul is only aware of the pains and pleasures in its particular body. Neither does it have any control over the vast ocean of the material world which surrounds it. However, the supreme soul, the Paramatma, who accompanies the individual soul, is different. He is the creator and well-wishing father of all living beings. And just like any father, he seeks to guide and protect his children. He wants the highest life for them possible. Now that super soul or Paramatma is not restricted by time or space. In his form, he resides within the hearts of all living beings. He knows past, present, and future. And when he speaks to us from deep within the heart, we call that the voice of our conscience. Conscience is much more than an individual instinct or intuition. It's the calm, quiet voice of Almighty God, whom we call Krishna. At a Sunday feast lecture, our guru, Prabhupada, said, God or Krishna is seated in everyone's heart, your heart, my heart, even the hearts of the animals, and he can give you instruction. His name, therefore, is Chaita Guru. Chaita Guru means one who can give conscience and knowledge from within. Your conscience is like an inward monitor, similar to an alarm. When you're about to do something that will be harmful for you and yours, which is going to get you into trouble, your conscience makes you feel uneasy. Conscience is the compass of the soul, the watchdog of the heart, which barks when something is wrong. Anybody recently flown in an airplane? You recall the ritual of walking through the electronic device to detect concealed weapons? Interestingly enough, centuries ago, in one of the palaces of Chang'an, an ancient capital of Thailand, there was a similar device. Its gates were made of lodestone, which acts as a natural magnet. If a would-be assassin came through the gate with a concealed dagger, the lodestone would pull at the hidden weapon like an invisible hand. Startled, the assassin would involuntarily reach for the weapon, and trained guards watching every movement would then grab him. A healthy conscience acts much in the same way. It tugs at the concealed sins in our lives as though it were God's almighty hand. Here it is said, the Lord within the heart causes us to feel approved when we do right and causes us disquiet when we do wrong. Our encouragement tonight is don't ignore the warnings of conscience. That's your all-powerful, all-knowing, best friend helping you to know what's going to work out for you and what's not. Helping you to determine what's safe and what's not. Helping you to rise higher and not sink down lower. Nothing your conscience ever tells you is going to be for your harm. It's only meant for your good. Your conscience is literally your best friend. We'd avoid a great deal of trouble and heartache if we were to maintain a more tender attitude towards the voice of the Lord from within. We hear people say all the time, I know I shouldn't do this, but I know I shouldn't say this, but I know I shouldn't buy this, but they know what they shouldn't do. The alarm's going off. They feel the sense of disapproval, but they choose to disobey their best friends, who happens to control the universe. And when you ignore these promptings of your best friend, you step out of the Lord's protection and favor. You start going around feeling all guilty, condemned. Someday, you'll look back and recognize how Krishna tried to warn you again and again and again, but you ignored him. The word conscience in our English language is a combination of two Latin words. Con, meaning together, and seo, which means to know. Consciousness is that junction where our tiny, infinitesimal, limited cognizance merges with the unlimited cognizance of God, obviously for our benefit, if we're tender. You can't escape your conscience. You have to live with it, because it always lives with you. You can forget about, you can decry, you can abandon God, but he will never cut you off. You can argue with your conscience. You can short-circuit your conscience. You can harden your conscience, but you can never get rid of your conscience. Socrates said, conscience is the wife from whom there is no divorce. Make sure you don't become like the man who went to see his doctor and said, Doc, I've been misbehaving and my conscience is troubling me. The doctor said, would you like for me to prescribe something that will strengthen your willpower? The man said, no, I was hoping you could give me something that would weaken my conscience. Well, unfortunately, we're living in a world whose conscience is steadily being weakened. And that leads to great problems. We need to learn to respect that voice. Just as you respect your boss or someone with authority over you, we need to learn to treat our conscience in the same way. Krishna will help you, lead you, guide you, and keep you out of trouble if you listen to him. In 1984, an Avianca Airlines jet crashed in Spain. Investigators studying the accident made an eerie discovery. The black box cockpit recorder revealed that several minutes before impact, the computerized voice from the plane's automatic warning system began to scream out in English, pull up, pull up, pull up. The pilot, with a little bit of racial bias perhaps, and evidently thinking that the system was malfunctioning, said, shut up, gringo. Switched the system off. Minutes later, the plane plowed into the side of a mountain, killing everyone on board. Similarly, the conscience is the automatic warning system of the heart, telling us that we're flying into a mountain. If you disengage it with excuses, arrogance, stubbornness, and a refusal to listen, then your life will eventually crash and burn. In a purport to the first verse in the third chapter, second canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, Prabhupada said, every man's life is scrutinized, what he has done and what he has not done, by the Lord of Death, Yamaraj. I say man, not animal. Animals, they have no sense of right or wrong. But a human being must have this consciousness. Pravritu cha, nirvritu cha. What is our duty to do? And what is our duty not to do? In the modern world, there is no sense of right or wrong, nor education about what is to be done or what is not to be done. Therefore, no better than what? Animals. Don't override your own conscience. When you feel uncomfortable down inside, pull back and pay attention to what Krishna is saying to you. You may be in the middle of a conversation, and all of a sudden, that alarm goes off and you know you need to button up your lip and walk away. Don't ignore that warning from your consciousness. You may be ready to buy something or to eat something or make some less than noble plans when the inner voice goes off. If you learn to be sensitive and listen to your conscience, Krishna will keep you out of trouble. He'll help you make good decisions. He'll protect you from danger. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Before you step into trouble or make a poor decision, Krishna will always provide a warning for you. An alarm will sound inside. The caution may not be as dramatic as you think, but if you'll be sensitive and pay attention, Krishna will lead you and help you avoid unnecessary turmoil in your life. Most of the time, deep down inside, we know what we should do, but too often, we simply choose not to do it. Understand, every time that you ignore your consciousness, the next time the voice will speak more softly. Unfortunately, you can get to the place where you have totally drowned out the voice of your consciousness. In another report, Srimad Bhagavatam 6, Canto 2, Chapter 5, Verse, Prabhupada says, quote, "When we forget that we are eternal servants of Lord Krishna, then we become servant of the senses, or Maya. By becoming servant of Maya, we are dragged down to the darkest region of illusion and become subject to the punishment of Yamaraj. Sometimes our conscience says, don't do this, but due to our lust and greed, we do something which is abominable. Krishna is there within our heart. He gives direction, don't do it, but still we do it." For instance, you're about to say something rude to someone, and all of a sudden a signal goes off inside. You feel that sense of uneasiness as something tells you to bite your tongue. Now, if you ignore that prompt and decide to override it, you're going to later on feel guilty. If you don't go back and make things right and apologize, then the next time you're in that scenario, the alarm won't be quite as loud. The voice won't be quite as strong. You can get to the place where you've overwritten your conscience so often that it's become desensitized. Therefore, every day we should pray, "Lord, help me to develop a tender conscience. Help me to sensitize myself to your voice." Any insensitivity to Krishna's voice should deeply concern us, especially when we've been willfully doing wrong for so long that it no longer bothers us. Maybe you've grown numb in that area. It's good to pray every day, "Krishna, help me to stay sensitive to your voice. Don't let me get calloused, cold, or numb in any area of my life, in my attitude, in how I treat people, in what I say or do. Krishna, help me to have a tender conscience." Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. The Internal Revenue Service received the following letter from a conscience-stricken taxpayer. Quote, "To whom it may concern, my conscience is bothering me. Here is $175 which I owe in back taxes." And it was signed, guess who? There was a PS at the bottom that read, "If my conscience continues to bother me, I'll send the rest." If you want to change, Krishna will help you do it. It's better to go through a little pain, change, and just go through 20 or 30 years stuck in mediocrity. The good news is that obedience breeds obedience. Unfortunately, the opposite is also true. Disobedience breeds more disobedience. Thus, you can increase the sensitivity of your conscience, or you can decrease it. Every time you obey, your consciousness becomes more tender. You're letting in a little more light. Your heart will be a little softer. When you hear that small, still voice, when you hear the first little nudge, you've trained yourself to take quick action. When you live an obedient life, God's or Krishna's blessings will chase you down. You'll not be able to outrun the good things coming from God. Now, Krishna doesn't expect you to change overnight. He's not going to write you off if you failed to turn your life around in a week's time. All he asks is that you keep making progress. He doesn't want you to be in the same place this time next year. If you'll do your best to keep your conscience clear, Krishna will be pleased and he'll release more of his favor in your life. Prabhupada tells the story of an Indian thief who went on pilgrimage. En route, he and the other pilgrims stopped to rest overnight at an inn. Being addicted to stealing, the thief began making plans to steal the other pilgrim's baggage. And then his conscience kicked in. He thought, "I'm on pilgrimage in a holy place. It doesn't seem appropriate that I steal this baggage. No, I won't do it." But he had this lifelong habit. He couldn't keep his hands off the baggage. So he picked up one person's bag and put it in another place. And then he picked up another person's bag and put it elsewhere. And he spent the whole rest of the night putting different bags in different places. But his conscience bothered him so much that he didn't take a single item from any bag. In the morning, when the other pilgrims awoke, they looked around for their bags and they couldn't find them. It was a great hue and cry, and eventually, one by one, they began to find their bags in various places. And after they were all found, the thief explained, "I'm habituated to thieving under the cloak of night. I didn't want to steal anything from you in this holy place, so last night I satisfied the thieving itch by merely moving all your bags around." So I think he got grace. What do you think? Why? Because none of us are perfect. We all make mistakes. We may have some bad habits, but we can learn to obey our own conscience. If we can be big enough to say, "I'm sorry, I didn't treat you right, I'll do better next time." If you'll be sensitive and maintain a clear conscience, there's no limit to what God can do in your life. In the comic strip, Calvin says to his tiger friend Hobbes, "I feel bad I called Susie names and hurt her feelings. I'm sorry I did that." Hobbes replies, "Maybe you should apologize to her." Calvin thinks about it for a moment and then responds, "Well, I was really hoping there was a less obvious solution." A sincere apology will incorporate four elements. Say you're sorry and express your remorse. Take responsibility for your offense and don't make excuses. Thirdly, offer amends. Ask that person if you can make it up to them in some way. And fourth, promise that you won't violate their trust by making the same mistake again. If you're going to apologize, make sure you hit all those points. And then you need to say to your Lord, "Krishna, I'm sorry. Please forgive me for having such a critical attitude toward that person." And when you do that, your conscience will relax. The burden will be lifted. You'll be able to sleep well. Not only that, Krishna will help you to do better next time. But if you don't clear your conscience, you're not going to feel good about yourself. You'll be down on yourself, and then you won't treat other people right. You'll stop expecting good things in your life, and most likely, good things will stop coming. At that point, the best thing you can do is go back and try to make things right. Swallow your pride. Apologize to the people you've offended. The power of apology is that even though we all make mistakes, we'll keep ourselves aware of those mistakes by acknowledging and facing the pain that we cause others. This is a quote from the great epic Mahabharata. The wise Vidura is advising his brother Dhritarashtra to apologize to the pious Pandavas for all the crimes that Dhritarashtra's son Duryodhana has committed against them. Vidura says, "My brother, you destroyed virtue when you allowed your sons, headed by Sukuni, to play dice with Yudhisthira. The only way you can now atone for this evil and win praise in this world is to return the Pandavas their kingdom and apologize to them." Dhritarashtra shifted uncomfortably in his seat. This was not the advice that he wanted to hear. He felt his anger rising as Vidura continued to speak. "O descendant of Bharat, have Duryodhana, your son, apologize to the Pandavas in the open court and beg their forgiveness. This will be good for all of us, and it will also save the kingdom from destruction." Did Dhritarashtra take the advice? Just the opposite. The narration continues. Dhritarashtra's anger boiled over. "O Vidura, I do not approve of your words. How do you expect me to abandon my own flesh and blood for another's sake? Duryodhana has sprung from my body. You ask me to leave my own body aside in order to favor another's. Although I hold you in great esteem, today I find your words crooked. I therefore reject them. You stay here or go away as you please. I no longer require your advice. However well an unchaste wife is treated, she always forsakes her husband." Wow. And all Vidura wanted to do was help out his brother. This is what he gets. Vidura shook his head sadly, prepared to leave on pilgrimage, and said, this race is doomed. Those were prophetic words. Another short story. King George IV of England desired communion and sent a servant to bring the Bishop of Winchester. When the servant arrived with the bishop, the king was angry. He felt his servant had taken too long. The king upbraided the man and fired him on the spot. Having done that, he turned to the bishop for communion. The bishop refused to proceed. He saw that the king was still angry. And when the king realized that the bishop was right, he called for his servant, apologized, restored the man's job, restored his own equanimity as well. And only then would the bishop proceed, so to speak, to allow the king into the presence of God with a contrite, peaceful heart. And similarly, if we can learn to have a sensitive, pure heart and be quick to obey, quick to forgive, quick to apologize, quick to change our attitude, we will be pleasing and we will stand in the presence of God. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Krishna, Krishna, Hari, Hari, Hari Rama, Hari Rama, 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 Hari, Hari. Many people, maybe you know somebody, maybe you are one of them, are living with heaviness hanging over their lives. They have some nagging feeling. Something's always bothering them. They're not happy. Problem is they don't have a clear conscience. They've ignored the warnings for too long. They've gotten cold and hard in certain areas. That insensitivity will not change until you make the proper adjustments. If you're doing things that you know you shouldn't be doing, you need to make some adjustments. If you're not doing things that you should be doing, then you need to make some changes. These things may not be big. It's said that the small foxes destroy the vine. Throughout his administration, Abraham Lincoln, as you know, was a president under fire, especially during the years of the Civil War. Though he knew he would make errors in office, he resolved never to disobey his conscience. So strong was this resolve that he once said, quote, "I so desire to conduct the affairs of this administration with integrity that if at the end, when I lay down the reins of power, I have lost every other friend on earth, I should at least have one friend left, and that friend shall be the Lord within my heart." President Lincoln also once famously said, "You can please all of the people some of the time, and you can please some of the people all the time, but you can never please all of the people all of the time." We can't please everybody, but we can live with a clear conscience. We can do our best to please the Lord. We can sleep well at night. We can lie down in peace. We can go through the day with a smile on our face. If we can keep our conscience clear, if we can stay open to change, if we can apologize for our mistakes, make the necessary adjustments, and offer mercy to others, Krishna, God's favor and blessings will chase us down. He'll direct our steps, illuminate our way, and guide us on the very best path in this life and next life. He'll take us back to home. Back to God. Thanks so much for your kind attention. And if you receive this message, please repeat after me. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Krishna, Krishna.
Krishna Krishna.
Hare Hare.
Hare,
Hare.
Hare
Rama.
Hare Rama.
Hare Rama.
Hare Rama.
Rama, Rama.
Rama, Rama.
Hare Hare.